This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Good news. We expect Mark back shortly. Won't be today, but today we've got all the football you could possibly want to wrap your arms around as we get ready for the final deep breath before practices start next week on the various campuses within the ACC footprint. And we'll probably get started as soon as, next Wednesday. When the road trip begins for our crowd at ACC Network at NC State. But more on that coming up later in the program. We do have plenty of football to cover with you today. Lots of stuff from Charlotte, quarterbacks aplenty, in case you missed it, with a variety of coaches and more coming up. We do have some guests in the 9 o'clock hour. Nicole Auerbach is going to be here from The Athletic at 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning. And she has written extensively, obviously, about what's transpired in the last 8 days, 9 days in college athletics. But one of the things she touched on in an article this week was, and we mentioned it yesterday in the show, it was the collegiality of the ADs and the commissioners a year ago that got us to playing football. Remember, about this time a year ago, we weren't sure that we were going to get football. The Big Ten was actually on the eve of announcing a postponement of the season. Then the ACC and SEC worked to kind of get things going. The Big 12, Bob Bowlsby involved. And then the Pac-12, Larry Scott, ultimately followed back. And then the Big 10 came back to the table. And we had a college football season that obviously featured the college football playoff. Well, all of that took collaboration. How much of the last 9 days has hurt that collaboration among the commissioners? And what has it done amongst the athletic directors? We'll talk about that with Nicole, because with the changing landscape and the apparent weakening of the NCAA, it's an interesting topic to dive into as to how it might impact the future, especially the potential expansion of the college football playoff. So we'll dive there. Then at 9:30, first-time guest on this show is Matt Brown, who has a website, Matt Brown. It's extrapointsmb.com, and it is a subscription newsletter that takes a deep dive into the business of college athletics almost each and every day on a variety of topics. As you might imagine, the last week or so has been devoted to expansion, things like that, realignment. But Matt has also tackled the impact of name, image, and likeness, the weakening of the NCAA. And yes, even, believe it or not, the return of the EA Sports college football video game. So we'll talk to Matt Brown about the business of college athletics and what we may need to know heading into the fall. He has a fascinating story out this morning, not just about realignment at its highest level, but realignment at the lower levels of FBS football, Southland, Sun Belt, American, Conference USA. How does all that look? So we'll visit with Matt Brown. Looking forward to having him a part of Show 428 here about 9:30. But we start with the NBA draft last night. And actually, it went a lot better than people expected it would from an ACC perspective. In fact, it went one slot better for Scotty Barnes than everybody thought, because Scotty Barnes broke up what was thought to be a straight four pick at the top by going number four to the Toronto Raptors. So Barnes joins Trey Murphy III, who was taken 17th by Memphis, but is expected to land ultimately in New Orleans. Then Jalen Johnson, who we talked about extensively yesterday, went 20th to the Atlanta Hawks. And then Dayron Sharpe closed out the four-man first round when he was taken 29th by Phoenix. But Sharpe, the former Tar Heel big man, is expected to end up in Brooklyn. All in all, you see second-round picks for David Johnson, who went 47th to Toronto. Balsa Koprivica of Florida State was later taken by the Charlotte Hornets. And then Raekwon Gray last night in the second round, 59th overall, by the Brooklyn Nets. By the way, Florida State, three players drafted last night, tied with Texas for the most players from any school in the two-round NBA draft. The Noles also are part of three draft picks in each of the last 13 drafts for the ACC in the first round. So 13 straight years, the ACC has had at least three first-round draft picks, and it's 33 straight years now for the ACC with a first-round pick. But let's go to the presser after the draft last night and hear from Scotty Barnes, who I think just wants to be great.
I just want to be great. I'm just a great person. I'm a great teammate. I'm a great player. I want to be known for someone that just put in the time, put in the work. Someone that's great, that just does it all. Striving for greatness. I'm going to keep working, staying in the gym. I just want to leave that legacy that I'm that guy, that I can really be I'm a great person and a great teammate as well. I can be, if not the top player in the league or one of those great top players in the league, with my mindset, because I'm just willing to work. I'm willing to get better. I know I'm a great defensive player, but I also have the offensive tools, which is pretty slept on, I would say, with the abilities that I can do on the floor. I know I can really create for myself. I really can score the ball. I would say I envision myself, if not being the best player, and one in the league, but one of the best players as well.
There you go, Scotty Barnes last night. By the way, with Kyle Lowry's impending free agency in the next couple of days, Barnes becomes a critical pick as to what maybe the future of the Toronto Raptors is. It is also worth noting, second consecutive season, the Noles have produced the fourth overall pick. Patrick Williams was taken fourth overall last year by the Chicago Bulls. Brian Ives offered up a tweet last night. Scotty Barnes is the 53rd former ACC player selected in the top five of the NBA draft. That's 21 more than any other conference. And our man Ives also dug down on Dayron Sharp, by the way. He's the 32nd and final first-round draft pick of Roy Williams' career. Third most all-time behind Mike Krzyzewski, who had 42, and John Calipari, 38. Now, here's one for you. As Pack likes to say, the bar bet, Roy Williams' first-round NBA draft pick, the former Kansas Jayhawk big man Mark Randall, who played against Christian Laettner in the 91 Final Four at the RCA Dome in Indianapolis. There he is, taking it on Pete Chilcutt. Good heavens. In the national semifinals that year. Mark Randall's the first, Dayron Sharp the last. News from Tokyo. Not much to report from an ACC angle here this morning, but it is of note. Men's 400-meter hurdles, women's 800 meters, and 100-meter qualifying began last night in the Olympic City. So we'll keep an eye on that over the weekend and have updates for you on Monday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And we welcome you back, Packer and Durham, on a Friday here on ACC Network. We promised you a lot of football. We're going to dive into the Atlantic here first and get some thoughts there. But the preseason poll, as you might expect, is all about Clemson. Tigers, who are going to shoot for their seventh straight Atlantic Coast Conference football championship this year. The idea, though, that they've got challengers does exist, especially when they visit Raleigh to meet NC State or host Boston College. But Clemson still the dominant choice. 146 of the 147 first-place votes went to the Tigers. You see the tight fit between BC and Florida State. And NC State, 2, 3, and 4, kind of fitting in behind the Clemson Tigers. Our huddle crew, Jordan Cornett, Mark Rick, Eric McLean, previewed the Atlantic earlier this week. Coach Rick talked about what sticks out most to him about these preseason polls.
Well, I think it's the Wake Forest ahead of Florida State. I don't see why that's happening. I remember like 20 years ago when Wake first beat Florida State, no one thought it might ever happen, but it did. And it's a situation right now where the programs are flip-flopped. And, you know, Wake Forest, those kids understand what Coach Clawson wants. I think Florida State's still trying to learn what Coach Norvell wants. And at quarterback, you know, Wake is solid as they could be with Sam Hartman. And Florida State's still not sure who the quarterback is. So I think those two should flip.
Coach, I love it there. I love your point. And again, just seeing NC State, a lot of people confident about those guys and excited of what they have coming back. You look defensively, I mean, led by Peyton Wilson, one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the country. I think there's a lot of, to be excited about there with NC State. It's all going to rely on quarterback play. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, though.
That's what we call a tease here in the business. Eric, staying with you there. NC State, some momentum, a lot of attention on that program after the historic season from a year ago. But NC State did receive one first-place vote. Did that surprise you, Emac?
No, I mean, people are confident in them. And again, how much they have coming back. Now, this is voted on by media members, so I would have to assume that it's somebody that covers NC State fairly closely. But again, this is a year where NC State brings so much back offensively, defensively. Quarterback is going to be the key position. Can he stay healthy? Is it going to be the Devin Leary that we saw for three games that was exceptional? Or, you know, some that we saw a couple of years ago that not so much?
Dabo Swinney is going to take that thing, and he's going to say, what in the world is going on? Do you see that somebody voted them ahead of us? We got to pound them, boys. So he'll find a way to use it for motivation.
As if Clemson, with all that talent, needs any more motivation. That's a very scary thought, Coach. Like I said, we haven't played the games yet, so let's look at what's in front of us. Coach, what captures your attention? Obviously, Clemson and Georgia, everyone gravitates towards. What should they be talking about?
Well, this Notre Dame-Florida State game is going to be a big one for the league. Notre Dame obviously was in the league last year. Now they're out. You know, Florida State has got a long way to go to get the nation's attention again. A game like this, a victory in a game like this would be huge for them. You know, they did have a big top five win over North Carolina, but the rest of the season last year, they really struggled. So a great start and a great victory against Notre Dame would be huge for Florida State at this point.
Coach, listen, there's no secret that on this show we are very offensive-minded. I'm looking at that Louisville-Ole Miss game and thinking, how many touchdowns are going to be scored between the both of these teams? I think it's going to be a scoreboard just lit up. You look at the offense that we've seen from Louisville, what Ole Miss is going to be bringing in to this game as well. Cannot wait to watch it. But the biggest question mark is, to me, are we going to see Louisville from a couple of years ago or Louisville of last year that just could not get it going at times, turnover prone? I think if they can protect that football, that game's going to be a barn burner and it is going to be fun to watch.
Louisville could not garner one win on the road last season. So I'd like to see this team, whatever happens in week one, but moving forward, what can they do on the road? Special teams get it done when they travel away from home. Okay, now, Eric, I'll give you a chance to talk about Clemson and Georgia. I tried to get you guys away from it. You did your job.
Thank you.
Now tell me what gets you excited about this mega showdown in Charlotte week one.
Well, really, I mean, this is a national championship type game. I mean, you look at two teams that are going to be right there preseason in the top four, most likely, maybe the top five. Georgia with their quarterback in the spectacular season that he put together a year ago. And then you've got a new blood in DJ Uiagalelei, two guys from California now playing on the East Coast. But really, I mean, this entire game on both sides of the ball. Great defense by Georgia, great defense by Clemson, two high-powered offenses. It's going to be a fun show, and again, I know people are very excited to see this matchup.
You know, it's interesting. When you start diving into the opening weekend of the ACC, and we've talked all about these games, and we're going to spend a ton of time next month on the countdown to Georgia-Clemson. Ole Miss, Louisville, Notre Dame, Florida State, North Carolina, and Virginia Tech, among others, Alabama, Miami. You start to look within these schedules, and for NC State to have an opportunity, they get Clemson on September 25th. But the Wolfpack and Dave Doran, one of the pieces I'm not sure it's been talked about enough in July that probably will be discussed in August is NC State's maturity from the last couple of years is really going to come into play here because you can't get ahead of yourselves when you open with South Florida, who didn't have a great year for Jeff Scott a season ago, but certainly is going to be better. Then you go to Mississippi State on the 11th, and then you have a game against Furman on September 11th, or Mississippi State, I should say, on the 11th, and then Furman on the 18th before Clemson comes to Raleigh, which will be a huge game, and we all understand that. Same goes for Boston College. BC's got five of their first eight on the road, including Clemson and NC State. They do have a bye week in between, but it's still Clemson and NC State in consecutive weeks. And by the way, a road trip to Louisville behind that. So there's plenty to go in the Atlantic. But when you talk about the Tigers, remember the stat now of how much production Clemson has returning on that side of the ball. I mean, it's like 90-some percent. It's the third best in FBS. So everybody has this unbelievable expectation for Clemson, and rightly so. Tigers are going to have strength at all three levels. But when you look at their 2020 defense and think about kind of where they were and now where they're going to be, that's where the switch gets flipped. Tied for first in FBS with sacks, third in adjusted quarterback rating, tied for fourth in first downs allowed, and the pressure percentage was top six. That's where the Tigers might be better than people think, and maybe a lot better. Eric McClain thinks they can be much better than the Clemson defense of 2020.
You look at this defensive line, those guys are all grown up. I had Dabo Swinney on my podcast a little while ago, and he said, this defensive line reminds me of our 2018 team. That 2018 team had three first-round draft picks on the defensive line. So I think those guys are going to be more than electric. They're grown up now. We talked to Brian Brazee multiple times, and he said, look, I'm learning how to play football now. Before, I was just using my athleticism, my creativity. Now, he understands why things are happening. He understands leverage. And that's a terrifying thing to think about, a guy who is potentially, as a true sophomore, the best defensive tackle in the country. So it starts up front. The linebackers are all back. The secondary, again, growing up, getting better and better. Coach, it's a scary sight to look at when you see all that talent on the defensive side of the ball.
It is that, for sure. And you mentioned the linebackers, Skowski and Spector. I mean, you got to love those guys right up the gut. Skowski, just old school, tough, hard-nosed guy, and a guy that can motivate his defense. So just really excited to watch those guys do their job. But as we know, last year they struggled at the end of the year. You know, the Ohio State offense kind of laid it to them a little bit. So, you know, when you're Clemson and you're dominating the ACC and you're in the college football playoff year after year after year, you start getting measured by those games. And I know it's a nasty taste in their mouth. Coach Venable is going to get them straight. And when they get there, which they will get there again, they'll take care of business.
Well, we always joke about Dabo looking for motivation to keep this team interested. Eric, when you finish the season like the Tigers did in that lopsided loss to Justin Fields in Ohio State, the defense took their lumps in that game. Do they use that as motivation going into this season?
No question. I mean, he is great at always starting over and okay, what last team did last year doesn't have anything to do with this team, but he's also great at manipulating that stuff and saying, okay, you got your tails whipped and all of you are back. So this is the same team. I guarantee you, he is going to be reminding of them of that over and over and over again in fall camp. Probably not throughout the season, but it's going to be a friendly reminder on a daily basis for a little while for those guys.
Well, it's nice to have star power on that defense. The guy anchoring it, Brian Brazee. And usually when you lead in talking about the Tigers, it starts at the quarterback position, especially because DJ Uiagalelei is there. But a look at the top five preseason players of the year in the conference as voted upon by the media, it's not DJU with more votes, it's Brian Brazee, the defensive end. Are you surprised by the tally there, Coach?
Not really. I mean, Brazee made a lot of big-time plays all year long and is a dominating force and showed it more often than DJ did. I mean, DJ got a chance to play big in that Notre Dame game and a few others, but the truth of the matter is Brazee's the one that has made the most plays so far, so I'm not too shocked.
And guys, I think one thing that's interesting, I know it was a little bit lopsided there. Maybe that's an understatement in the voting, but I truly think that this is the most open, you know, player of the year race that we've seen in quite some time. You know, I think DJU is going to stand up and make his case. I think De'Aaron King is going to continue to have success and make his case. And then could it be a defensive player like Brian or like Peyton Wilson at North Carolina State? So I think it's going to be very interesting when this thing is all said and done. I do not think it's going to be a very wide margin winner for player of the year.
Interesting thought from Eric on the potential of a defensive player of the year in the ACC. And he may be right. There are several standouts, particularly with the Tigers, that could come into play. He mentioned Peyton Wilson and some others. Let's go back and look. Brian Brazee is, as the guys talked about, the only defensive player in the league to receive a player of the year vote. in the preseason. Here are the last five players to win the ACC Player of the Year. E.J. Henderson was a phenomenal player for a Maryland team that ultimately went to the Orange Bowl. Andre Wadsworth was part of a Florida State defense as a defensive end that was just fantastic. And then you see the three Clemson Tigers in the 80s. Michael Dean Perry, 1987, William Perry, 1984, and the judge, Jeff Davis, 40 years ago, Jeff, but not to age you, my man. A middle linebacker who was just sensational for Danny Ford and the national championship team. The one thing that all those defensive players had, though, was great teammates around them. So there's no question Brazee has great teammates around him this fall. What can Clemson do? And just like when we talk about the offensive guys, okay, what can defensive guys do when they get on that stage? That'll be the challenge for Clemson and Brazee if he's going to be hypothetically a strong candidate for Player of the Year in the ACC.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
We've got a new quarterback for Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei, and they feel he is the next great one here in Death Valley.
There's nothing that Trevor could do that he can't do.
Uiagalelei keeps it going right side, and he'll take it in the end zone. Touchdown!
DJ is an incredibly talented young guy.
That's a touchdown. Big Cinco.
This quarterback is putting on a show.
He's a very unique guy.
I just wanted to come in and compete whatever my role was going to be in the team. I was starting last string. He did really bad. I just wanted to come in and compete.
Well, when you think about it, the win against Boston College, the overtime loss at Notre Dame, DJ Uiagalelei from Inland Empire, California, gave you plenty to think about. And the Tigers are excited and have got every reason to be. And DJ made his debut last week at the ACC kickoff, and he was tremendous in his visit with Kelsey Riggs and I at the desk. And we started by saying, how much of an advantage do you have coming into this season by starting and going through the full prep of those two ball games a year ago?
It was super cool for me just be out there, get to go through a starting lineup, like a whole week of like preparations being a starting quarterback. So it was really cool.
You got that experience, you got those reps, but now you have even more because you've had a whole spring season with this team, knowing that you're the guy. What has that been like, and what have you learned about the group of guys you have around you?
Well, I've known that we're going to have a really great team. We're going to have a lot of firepower on the offense, great defense. We're ready to play. So I think we're going to have a real great season. We have a lot of great players, a lot of receivers, great offensive linemen, good running backs, you know. People that have been gone since last year, we're going to be ready to play though.
But DJ, what do you focus on? I mean, you had some tape obviously to work with. You had some real experience. You and I talked in the spring. Trevor was a great mentor in terms of 100%. What this was all going to be about. So now, how do you process that to put your own personality, your own style to it, I guess?
For me, I just take it one day at a time. Don't try to think too far ahead. Whatever the day is today, just take that day and go give it 110% and just continue to keep stacking great days on great days. So that's how I approach every single day. Just take it one day at a time. Don't look too far ahead. Just live in the moment.
Wes, you mentioned Trevor and the relationship that the two of you had over the years. Yes, have you talked? Do you still keep in contact all the time? Does he give you any advice before coming into an event like this? And kind
what
of
do you do with
expect?
$24 million guaranteed on the $36 yeah. million dollar deal, that kind of thing? Is that what y'all discuss?
Man, I try not to bother him too much. He's a busy man. He's in the NFL now, so I try not to. I might text him here and there, but I know he's super busy, so I try not to give him a lot of text or anything, because I just try to make him live his life. He just had his wedding. He just went on a honeymoon. He's trying to be a star. He's going to be a starting quarterback for the Jaguars, so I just want him to just live his life. I don't want to put any pressure on him.
A busy guy, but I'm sure he'd be happy to hear from you anytime just because of the relationship that you guys had. And we think about losing Trevor, and then think about losing Travis Etienne, some of your wide receivers. I mean, you guys lost a ton of talent, but when you look at what you brought back this year, you guys just seem to reload. Tell us about some of those players that have really stood out. I know we're excited about Lynn Jay, and we're real excited about Will Shipley as well at running back.
Lynn Jay, Will Shipley, Kobe Pace, Phil Maffa. There's going to be a lot of running
backs. Michael Dukes, come on, right?
Michael Dukes. I mean, there's seven guys deep that can be able to run the ball. So it's going to be real exciting. Even though we lost Travis, leading rusher in ACC, we're going to have a lot of people to be able to fill in for his shoes and just try to do their best. We have a lot of guys to be able to rotate, run the rock, catch it out the backfield just like he did.
All right. Coach Elliott said something about competitive depth. It's a term I heard used by a couple different schools. You've got competitive depth at running back. You've got competitive depth at wide receiver. How do you factor into that? You challenge these guys a little bit? You all kind of set bars and goals a little bit here, even in the offseason?
I think they have their own bar set. They know where they, like, each position, they know where they want to be at. And each player, they want to be on the field. So I feel like that there's a competition in between itself that no one wants to sit the bench, that everyone wants to be there, be the person on the field when it starts the game. So I feel like there's a competition, but there's also like a family atmosphere. So it's healthy competition, but it's not like people are like trying to like go at each other, like do something dirty to each other. It's all friendly competition.
Speaking of that family atmosphere, I feel like you guys in the locker room knew what you had in Darian Rinter and everything that he brings. And I feel like maybe last year more of the world got to see, to have him back there. What is that like? And how much does he mean to this program?
He's a huge voice in the locker room, huge voice in the program, and huge voice for college football. So be able to have Rinter come back for a sixth year is a true blessing. I mean, he's a great player, great person off the field, so I'm super excited to have him back.
All right, take me through kind of the run-up now. You've had the offseason. You guys have worked out. You've lifted, done all the stuff you need to do to get ready for 21. There's this game, we were talking about earlier. It's sitting out there, and it's all anybody's going to talk about, DJ, until it kicks. Is that okay? That's a pretty good spotlight for you guys, I think.
I know, 100%. I mean, we're super excited to play Georgia. Great football, great tradition there at Georgia. So we can't wait for that game to happen on September 4th. We're just really excited and ready for the game.
You're here in Charlotte already. You're going to take a trip over a couple blocks up?
We might have to.
See what things look like?
Yeah, we might have to go look at the stadium before in about a month and get over there and kick it off.
Unbelievable. Well, I tell you, how's Inland Empire handling all this, by the way? How's Cali? How's Southern California handling DJU in Charlotte or in Clemson?
Hey, I mean, I went back home for a little bit, got to see my mom. I know my mom's watching right now. Hi, Mom. But it's always good to go back home. But, I mean, I love it out here in Clemson. I mean, it's a great town, great feeling, and I wouldn't have chosen it for the world. Love being here.
You mentioned your family, and I know that's something that's really important. Mm-hmm. How much does that factor into who you are today and your why and your motivation every day?
I mean, that's my everything. Mom, she's my everything. Brother, dad, I mean, I love them all. So that's what I do it for. Same thing with Jesus Christ. But I love my family. You know, I'll ride with them till the wheel falls off.
Man, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people excited to see you go with this. And I just can't think of how much the benefit a year ago helps, DJ. Mm-hmm. I mean, in all aspects of it, not just starting the two ball games, but getting the reps and kind of the way the BC game went, even to a degree the way the Notre Dame game went, right?
Yes, sir. No, definitely. I mean, be able to get in those games, I mean, it's going to help out a lot. It's going to be big for me just to be able to get my feet wet, 100%.
Well, Uiagalelei is not the only quarterback with expectations as 2021 begins in Raleigh. They've got him for Devin Leary, because when Devin Leary was healthy, the Wolfpack was 3-0 as a starter, and his season was cut short due to the broken leg against Duke. But as Dave Doran knows, Devin Leary is a huge key to what NC State will be about.
We emphasize line play in our program, both sides, offensively and defensively. It's paramount that we win the line of scrimmage. And we treat those guys that way. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people probably after a game when you win, they bring up the quarterback and the skill players. And the first guys we bring up are the guys that got pancakes. We bring them up and give them a bottle of syrup and the whole team. And it's not just the linemen. Like, right. If you're on special teams and you have a pancake block, you get it. If you're a receiver, you get it. Like, we emphasize that in our program. And so those guys they're loved. They're looked after. We take care of them. And they have a certain demeanor. And there's a tradition here at our school. From when I got here, you know, inherited Joe Tooney, and he's having a great career in the NFL, but we were part of developing him. And since that time with Garrett Bradbury and Will Richardson, some of the guys that have made it, and I know that Grant and Icky and those along with them will continue that. And one of the things I would say that doesn't get talked about enough is iron sharpens iron, and we have good defensive linemen. And those guys every day watching like Bradbury every single day go up against B.J. Hill, you know, and now getting to watch Grant every day get to go up against Aleem McNeil last year, and now get to go up against C.J. Clark and Josh Harris. That makes each other better every single day in practice.
Great momentum coming into this year. What'd you take away from last year?
I was really proud of our staff and our team last year. It was a crazy year. It was a fun year. most fun I've had with a group of guys, you know. I mean, it was so hard. It was so rewarding. And the things we went through, from schedule changes to everything that you guys know about, you know, with masks, no masks, 6 feet apart, how many buses, and how are we going to feed these guys, to all the things we learned about each other through the social things that were happening in our country, to the leadership that stepped up on our roster. It was very rewarding. And we had some critical injuries, and guys stepped up and kept us rolling. And a lot of these guys are back, and so really excited to continue the journey with them.
Coach, one thing that was very interesting from a year ago, which was such a great season, such a fun season for you guys, was just the way you won. Eight different times, eight different ways it seemed like. It was defense 1 week. It was offense one. Special teams making a huge play against Liberty there. When you can rely on all three phases of the game, I guess just what does that do for you as a coach and your players in practice each and every week?
Well, we talk about complementary football in our program a lot. And as you guys know, sometimes the offense is going to need to score a bunch of points because of how the game's going. Sometimes the defense is going to have to shut them out. And sometimes you need to block a kick or a punt or return a punt or return a kick. And last year, our guys just did that. You know, they seized the moment. They felt the energy on one side needed to be lifted by the other side. And they fed off of each other's energy. And I would attribute that to the chemistry of our roster. There was a true love in our locker room that was different. Every team talks about being a family. I don't think every team acts like a family. And that was a really fun team to be a part of. And that showed in those games. And it was fun. You know, you'd come in and, like, I don't know how we just did that. Like, we had to block a kick. We blocked it. You know, we had to do this. We did it. And tribute to the guys.
Yeah, and five of those eight wins coming trailing at the half. So is there something to be said for some of the things you mentioned, Coach, but is there something you can peg and say, that's what we're able to capture in those second halves to get it done? Second most in the FBS comebacks like that in the second stanza.
Well, I think it's a tribute to our culture and the character of the guys on our roster. They're tough. And we talk about play hard, play tough, play together. HTT is our identity as a program. And it's one thing to say it, it's another to show up in the fourth quarter when you got to make a play and get it done. And to do it, I didn't know we were that close or that high in the country for those types of wins. But that, to me, is a great indicator that what we talk about is actually happening in our locker room and in our coaching rooms. And so I'm proud of the young men and the coaches that have helped us create that environment.
Coach, we talk about offense so much. This year in particular, when you look at all these great teams and great offenses, I want to talk about your defense because I am very excited about that side of the ball. I think you guys have the opportunity to have one of the best linebacking cores, not just in the conference, in the country. I think Peyton Wilson is that bad of a dude. I think Isaiah Moore is that good as well. And then Big Drake. I mean, you're talking about three absolute studs. What have you seen from them going into this spring and then going into fall camp as you guys get started a couple weeks?
You know, I was a linebacker coach, so I love this.
Get a little excited, right?
I'm really fired up about these guys, and they're so good together, too. Like, they play off of each other. They communicate well. They play sideline to sideline. Tony Gibson does a great job schematically letting them run and chase the football and blitzing them and bringing them from different places. And there's some young ones in this group you're going to learn about down the road that are really good players as well. But in my opinion, they are the best in the country, and they got to go prove that now. But I know they're excited about the opportunity to do so.
Question, as we stand 34 days from NC State's opener against South Florida on the 2nd of September at Carter-Finley Stadium, it does beg the question, if Clemson is the best defense in the ACC and expected to be, if not the best in the ACC, then certainly one nationally, is NC State potentially the second best? Do they have all three levels covered? One would think with the production potential up front, the linebacking play Dave Doran just spoke about, and then certainly the secondary, Tyler Baker-Williams, Tanner Engel, guys like that who are back from a year ago, probably a really good reason to be excited in West Raleigh about what's going to happen.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The Wake Forest Demon Deacons are back.
You've got 20 returning starters.
They're deep at running back. They're deep at wide receiver.
Starting quarterback will be Sam Hartman. Hartman, time to throw, and he fires that one for a touchdown. Sam Hartman pulls it down to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Wake Forest.
Sam Hartman throws a beautiful ball.
Roberson caught it. How?
A great throw and a better catch
on the back end for the touchdown.
He's about as good as it gets. Hand off. Beal Smith finds Pater. Touchdown, Wake Forest.
You cannot overlook this Wake Forest offense. This Wake Forest offense is going to be fantastic this season.
Expectation level has to be through the roof in 21.
You heard Pack in the bump as we came back say Wake's got 20 starters back. I was double-checking here during the break before we hear from Dave Clawson. I was looking at these 20 starters on offense and defense that come back. The nine on defense that come back, seven guys with 10 or more starts. On offense, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven more guys. Six more guys on offense with 10 or more starts. So 13 of the 20 have double-figure starts in their career for Dave Clawson. And a year ago, Clawson and the Deacons set a program record for scoring. That's a good sign, too, especially when you're bringing all 11 starters back on that side of the ball. 36 points a game, but that's nothing new. You see the way it's all kind of gone. They went from 31 to 36. They've been 32-8 and 18, 35-3 and 17. But the Deacons have been putting points up, and with Sam Hartman and Christian Beal-Smith and more set to come back this year, Dave Clawson has got to be excited. But I think more than anything else, as you'll hear in our visit with Coach Clawson, he's probably just as excited just to be around his team, because a year ago, he told us it was weird. This has been a lot easier and a lot better.
I'd say on our own team, we had a team meeting the other day, and right now, about 98% of our team is fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
So we had a team meeting that we were all there without masks, and it was fun. You know, and it's just one of those things that you take it for granted when you do it. We've been able to do it that way for 30-some years, and now you could do it again, and you enjoyed it. And all the interactions and, the handshaking and the hugging, it's just, I don't know. It feels like we're getting close to being back in a good place. And I think you don't appreciate things at times until you don't have them. And then when you get them again, hopefully you continually appreciate it.
I try to be a pretty positive person most of the time, but I cannot stop smiling this entire time that we've been here because you're right. It does feel good to be back in this building. I know those little things that you got to have with your team, like a meeting like that, means a lot. But also, Coach, last year, going through some of those struggles that all the teams did with COVID and the challenges and navigating that space and having to lead your team through that, is there a bond that was formed last year that you think we're going to see kind of take a whole new path this year, just because the players did get so close, all they had was each other?
I believe so, because I think within your team, you saw all the sacrifices that guys had to make in order to play. And for the guys that then stayed and are still on the team, it's hard not to have even a greater respect for each other and what they did and what they were willing to do in order to play football. I've said it many times, there was a lot of silver linings in the pandemics, a lot of hidden blessings, and certainly some of them I think will help our football team, not just this year, but moving forward.
All right, you had a record-setting offense last year. You're third in the league in scoring. Your offense has continually gotten better. What is it about 2021 that excites you? What do you see in terms of the progress on that side of the ball?
Well, we have so much experience back. And, we've always been a team that, we have this player, Greg Dortch. Well, geez, they lost Greg Dortch. What's going to happen? And then Kendall Hinton comes on and catches 1,000 yards worth of balls and starts as a quarterback in the NFL, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. and then he leaves. Hey, you're in trouble. And Ja'Cory Roberson comes back.
Yeah.
And to me, what's always exciting is, okay, who are those guys we redshirted, the younger guys that had, limited roles? Who emerges? That's the fun thing for me at Wake, is where's five or six guys in our team that are going to have great years, and I don't even know who they are. But I saw those guys get better from the fall to the spring. Mm. I've seen them get stronger. I've seen them become more mature. That's what's so exciting. It's just the unknowns, but knowing it's going to happen.
You love the unknowns. You love the breakout stars, but you got to love having a guy like Sam Hartman back, too. We have been talking throughout the last 2 days about the talent in the ACC at the quarterback position. And honestly, we've talked about it a lot, and I think more and more people will continue to, but Sam Hartman's got to be in all those conversations as well.
Yeah, and I think to Sam's credit, he's so part of his maturity as a quarterback is his focus has become outward. Mm-hmm. I've seen him become more outgoing with some of the younger receivers. And, you know, last year we had times that maybe Ja'Cory was out or Donovan was out, and some younger guys got out there and struggled, and he now knows how critical their development is to our football team. So I think when any college player gets here, they first want to play, then they want to play well, and then that last step is making the other people around you better. And I think he's getting into that phase of his career. It's not just about me. It's being a leader. It's helping these other guys develop. And being a servant leader for the whole offense.
I'll tell you what, it's all a part of a master blueprint. You know you've done a marvelous job. We appreciate the time as always. Glad to have your opener on ACC Network on that Friday night in Winston-Salem at Truist Field, Coach.
Yeah, it'll be nice to even have the pregame meeting face-to-face again.
Sam Hartman, by the way, will make his 20th career start on that Friday night against the Monarchs of Old Dominion here on ACC Network. And you heard Coach talk about, you know, Ja'Cory or Donovan Green, who now will be lost for the season, but Ja'Cory Roberson comes back. Don't forget a guy like A.T. Perry. He could be huge in the throw game. And Brandon Chapman, the tight end, was on the John Mackey watch list earlier this week as well. So keep an eye on that. But here's the secret sauce for Wake Forest. Yeah, they've scored it well. There's no question they've scored it well under Dave Clawson. But when they have supplied good defensive punch along the way, the Deacons have been, as you might expect, that much better. And last year, they were one of the best teams in the country in turnover margin. They were third nationally behind Coastal Carolina and UCF at plus 10, tied with Louisiana, Alabama, Kentucky, and Ohio State. That will be a critical piece now. You got a Luke Masterson coming back. You got guys like Nick Anderson, who had the three-pick game against Virginia Tech. But guys up front, Kamara, Ja'Cory Johns, Miles Fox, how does that factor into Wake's success this year too? And don't forget the Deacs have three straight home games to start the year. Old Dominion, Norfolk State, and Florida State before they go on the road on a Friday night to meet the Virginia Cavaliers. It's going to be an interesting year for Wake Forest. Deacons are kind of lying in the weeds a little bit. A lot of thinking about Clemson, a lot of thinking about NC State, FSU, Boston College, and then there's Wake Forest. And even with the transfer situation last year with Walker that gives Christian Beal-Smith the rock full-time this year, going to be interesting to watch Wake Forest develop here. Plenty of starters back, as we told you. Going to be an interesting year.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.